I would like to welcome everyone to our fifth session on this six session course on this journey of self-discovery. In the discussion yesterday, we discussed about who am I, the nature and the characteristics of the individual soul, how he is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, how it is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one in quality but minute in quantity. Just like a drop of water in the ocean may have the same quality like the water in the ocean, but quantity wise it is very minute. A ship cannot float in that. A huge fish cannot float in a drop, but it can float in the ocean. So, the soul is godly by nature. It is also having the same characteristics as God, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. But being minute in quantity, it can actually fall from its original position and come into a situation where its nature is covered. So yesterday some question was there. How did the soul come about? It is described in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamayobhyasat, that the nature of the Supreme Lord is that He is ever pleasure seeking. Ananda, that's his nature. Just like we have our nature to seek happiness. Actually, it is there in us because it is there in our source. So, Anandamayobhyasa, the nature of the Lord is to seek pleasure. And therefore, that pleasure and everything about him is ever increasing. And therefore, to increase the pleasure, there is reciprocation. And therefore it is described that he expanded into many, eko bahushyam, that he expanded just like a husband and wife come together, but then more the merrier, so they expand in the form of the family, and then there is more loving reciprocation. So similarly, that nature is coming because it is there in the Lord. He expanded into many. But then you may say, how did he expand into many? That means he created the soul. Truly speaking, as we were discussing yesterday, the sun cannot exist without the sunlight. There is no meaning to the sun without sunlight or sun rays. Similarly, God by definition means his parts and parcels also. So then, the next question. He expanded himself into many for his enjoyment, but why at our cost? That may be the question. Okay, he wants to enjoy. He's having Ras Leela up there. But what about us? What kind of a God is he who can just enjoy himself at the cost of his children suffering here? What kind of parents would ever do that? When the children are suffering, actually the parents suffer much more than the children because of their love. So how do we understand that so much suffering is going on in this world and isn't God concerned about it? How can he enjoy himself? Is he so hard-hearted? So that is the million-dollar question. And another question that really faces certain philosophical questions, and that is, why do bad things happen to good people? Or vice versa. Why do good things happen to bad people? Is there some controller? Has he some sense? Is there some organization behind this, or everything is just happening by chance? You know, chaotic. And so therefore, this understanding, a deeper understanding of this subject matter, is very, very essential for us to be convinced and have faith in the compassion and the love and the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, we really wonder, is he really compassionate? Is he really loving? In fact, this particular title, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People, was originally taken from a book by something, a similar title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, by a Christian priest who wrote a book by this title in 1978. His name was Harold Kushner. Now, he had dedicated his life to the mission of the Lord, and his son developed a disease called progeria. Progeria means very quickly the child starts aging faster than normal. And very soon that child becomes a very old man. Even before the father, there was a Bollywood movie by that name, Pa, right? That actually similar kind of a progeria. So that when the child developed this, and this man had to see his own son growing old, grand old man, and dying in front of him, that was the time he started questioning the basic tenets of what he had read in the scriptures, that God is supposed to be omnipotent, omniscient, and all-loving. So he's omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. When he wants to do something, no one can stop him. And he's omniscient. He knows there is nothing that he does not know. And thirdly, he's all-loving. If all these statements are true, then the question is, why is my child suffering? I have given my life for the mission of the Lord. Can't he stop my child from developing this disease? If he is omnipotent, all-powerful, can't he stop? No, he can, but only thing is, probably he doesn't know. His file is lost in the multitude. The government office sometimes, you know, all your files are misplaced. No, that's not the case with God, because he's omniscient. So if he knows that my child is suffering, and he has the power to do it, and still if he has not done it, does he really love me? But yes, he loves. That is why he sends his own people to come and rescue people. So then this question arises. Then why? One of these statements must be wrong. Either he is not all powerful, but if he is all powerful, then he may not be knowing everything. But if he is all knowing, may not be loving everyone in every time. So this is the difficulty. Even after understanding philosophy, unless it is completely understood, this whole philosophy is fully understood, this question is very difficult to resolve. So today we will be discussing how the Gita addresses this question. Why do bad things happen to good people, or vice versa? Now, so there are five topics that are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. And anyone who has a full grasp of these five topics will not have confusion when such a thing seems to happen in our lives or in the lives of people around us. good things for bad people or bad things for good people. The first is the science of God, Ishvara, that we discussed day before yesterday. Then, the science of the soul, individual soul, living entity, Jiva. And the third topic is, what is this world? What are the nature and characteristics of this world? What is the purpose behind this world? Why was it created? How is it created? The material nature that we find ourselves in. Fourth, what is this kala? What is this time factor? And fifth, what is karma? What is activity? What are the laws that govern our activities? So one who understands one who has a full understanding of these five topics will never be confused when apparently contradictory things, situations, circumstances are seen in this world. So we discussed about Ishvara and Jiva in the last 2 days. Today we will discuss about the rest of the three. First is, what is Prakriti? What is this material world? So according to the Vedic literature, this material creation is 1/4 of the creation of the Lord. It is 1/4. Ekapada vibhuti. Ekapada means 1/4, 1/4. Vibhuti means of his creation. And this creation consists of billions and trillions and quadrillions of universes, of which our universe is just like a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. Imagine the expanse of the whole creation of the Lord. And these billions and quadrillions and innumerable numbers of universes, of which our universe is just a tiny part, is actually only 1/4 of the creation of the Lord. So what is the next 3/4? The Tripada Vibhuti, 3/4 of the creation of the Lord, is the spiritual world. It is Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. In the material creation, there is always anxiety. Because as soon as we are born, there is anxiety, old age, disease, death, common to all. No one wants it, but no one can avoid it. Therefore, this world is full of anxiety, full of dualities. You can't find happiness without distress. You can't have, you know, the dualities, night and day, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor. All these dualities, love and hate, they all exist. And therefore this world is full of anxiety, kuntha. While the creation of the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, is supposed to be vaikuntha, vigata kuntha. There's absolutely no anxiety. So the question next is, why didn't God create Vaikuntha all around? Why did he have to create 1/4 or a part of his energy as a material creation? What was the necessity? Couldn't he have created everything as Vaikuntha and it would have been wonderful? Actually, it is described, this Ekapada Vibhuti was created not by God, was actually created because of us. Our desire to actually be away from Him, to enjoy separately from Him. It is just like a child rebels against the father and walks away And he said, I don't want to be here. In the Bible, there is a story of this prodigal son. A man, a rich man, had two sons. One was the elder one, was very obedient. And one day the younger son approached the father and said, Father, give me my share of money, I just want to go out. So the father said, no, just be here. No, I want to go out, give me my share. So he took his share, went away. And when he went out, naturally people surrounded him. In the Niti Shastra, there is a beautiful shloka which says, Yasyarthah tasya mitrani, yasyarthah tasya bandhavaha, yasyarthah sapuman loke, yasyarthah sacha pandita. In this world, yasya arthah, whoever has money, tasya mitrani, he has lot of friends. Yasyarthah tasya bandhavaha, so many relatives come. Do you know your aunties, uncles, grandfathers, you know, neighbors, nieces, and that? So many relatives. Yasyarthah sapuman loke. Whoever has money, when money talks, everyone walks, as they say. A lot of power, he can wield a lot of power. And yasyarthah sacha panditah. And whatever he speaks, there are so many people. Yes, sir. 2 and 2 is 3.5. Correct, sir. Why? Because you are saying, sir. So naturally, when this boy went out with his share of money, there were so many people with him. And he just spent it. Eventually he lost everything. Came to such a point that he had to eat from the garbage. And he was thinking, the servants in my father's home live more opulently than me. And he decided that he wants to go back. But he was feeling ashamed. So as he was walking back, just reaching the precincts of the village, the father from the rooftop saw, hey, my son is returning. And he ran down with his servants, rushed to him, embraced him, bathed him with tears of happiness. And he told his servants, come on, let's have a feast. Let's have a big party. Aaj ki shaam is bacche ke naam. So there's a big party arranged. And when the party was going on in the evening, the elder son returned back from the fields. And he was shocked. I said, what's happening? He said, oh, you don't know, your brother has come. My brother has come? So he must have got a lot of money, looks like. No. He came empty-handed. He was in tatters. Your father has thrown a party in his name. Really? And he went to the father and he said, Father, I want to ask you a question. I remained faithful to you. I obeyed you. I took charge of everything. You never had even a small party for my name, in my name. And this rascal left you. He lost everything. Shamelessly has come back. Now, after losing, and you're having a big party in his name? So the father looked at him and he said, my dear son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. But this son was lost and now he is found. And therefore rejoice. And the elder son immediately could understand how much the father loves his children, especially the lost children. The same point is made, actually this is described. What is this material world? Truly speaking, this material world is like a prison house. Seems a little bitter to digest. But the fact is, it is in the Gita, it is described as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Alaya means a house. Just like we say Granthalaya, Himalaya. Similarly, Dukkhalayam. This place is designed for us to suffer. It is designed in such a way to create suffering. Just like the prison house is designed by the government to reform the prisoners inside. If it is too comfortable, nobody would want to leave that place. Then the whole purpose of prison house is defeated. So the prison house, enough comfort is there, but not so much that people decide to stay there. So there is amazing creation. All necessities are there. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. All that you need to perfect your life is there. But simultaneously there are some miseries put. Just so that you realize, I don't belong to this place. I'm not supposed to be here. Rather than settling down. This is not my nature. This is not the place where I belong. So it is compared to a prison house. It is a facility to those rebellious souls offered as an opportunity to reform and go back. The government had two choices to deal with rebellious people in the city. One thing is, call them all, make them stand in a straight line, take a machine gun and shoot them down, finish. Na rahega bans, na bajegi bansuri. But then the government is very merciful. No. They have sinned, they are offended once, they have broken the law. Let us give them an opportunity to reform. And therefore they are put in a restricted environment with restricted independence and some kind of a punishment, so that they understand, they learn that what I did when I was out there was actually wrong, and develop deep repentance that I want to reform myself. Then they are facilitated to go out. Again, this is also the similar kind of a story in Bible also. Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, and he said, enjoy, the whole garden is for you, but don't eat from that apple tree. Only one tree, that's all. And they were happy. And then suddenly there was a snake which hissed in the ear of Eve. Eat this. She said, no, I'm not supposed to eat. No, eat it. Then you will become God. Actually, God tells you this because he is jealous of you. And she offered it to Adam. As soon as they did it, it is described, three things happened. Number one, they realized that they were naked. They were very embarrassed. They covered themselves. They realized, she realized she is a she and he is a he. Duality arose. Till then they were not aware of it. And the third thing they realized was, from Garden of Eden, they were sent to Eden Gardens. So somebody from Kolkata, please. Sent to the material world. The same thing is expressed in just one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. 7th chapter, 27th verse. Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. We were all in the spiritual world. We were with him, having wonderful loving reciprocation as his part and parcel, as the rightful sons of the Father to enjoy. But then Icha, why he should be the master and controller and proprietor and enjoyer? I want to be in his place. And if you can't, dvesha. You start envying the Lord. That dvesha is represented as the snake. Icha dvesha samuthena and dvandva mohena. And as soon as you do that, you fall into duality. Dvandva mohena bharata. Then there is good and bad. In the spiritual world, everything is absolute. Everything is absolutely good. Everyone is absolutely happy. But in this world, as soon as we come here, this is a world of duality. Everything has an opposite side. Sarva bhutani sammoham. They get bewildered and sargeyanti, and they fall down. They fall down into this place. So this is the reason why. He said, all right, if you want to enjoy, here is a facility. Just like if the child, suppose the father is a truck driver in them. So the child, 5-year-old child says, I also want to drive. Oh, you can't drive. No, I want to. All right, I will take you to the SL world. Or go to a, what do you call it? Video game parlor. Where, you know, you put a coin and you get the feeling of, you know, driving, and even if there is an accident, there is no damage. So this is Krishna's video game parlor, this material world. This is his SL world, created exclusively for us. You want to be the controller? You want to be the proprietor? You want to be the enjoyer? Here is your world. Try to be the lord and master of everything that you survey. You get the satisfaction. I created. I am the controller. I am the proprietor. I am the enjoyer. But this is not the place where we are supposed to be. And therefore, the hitch. What is that? Old age, disease, and death. Just when you think you are everything, you have sorted out, and you have figured out everything, and you are now complete control of everything, you realize everything is going away from your hand. It's like, you know, children want to play, and okay, they play, and then in the evening, mom says, all right, come on. No, I'm enjoying. Come on, out. Let's go home. He would eat food now. But they are absorbed in making their things. On the seashore, they are making some palace. Ah, we are enjoying everything. Pulled out suddenly. So, this is the situation. This material world is a place for the forgetful soul who has forgotten his eternal, natural, loving relationship with the Lord and wants to be little Krishna, a little God. All right, be the controller and proprietor and see. You may say, what kind of punishment is this? I am happy, I am free. This is not a prison house, because prison house you are supposed to be chained. Yes. Every soul who is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, according to his nature of desire to enjoy, he is provided with a specific kind of a body to enjoy in this material world, with a specific ability and facility. And it is described there are 84 lakh species of life, which are different kinds of bodies. The soul is the same. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant microbe. From the Brahma Loka down to the Patala Loka, all the 14 planetary systems, where there are different realms of existence, different lifespan, different kind of enjoyments. Just like in a train, you have a first class compartment, second class, third class. So like that, the facilities are there. So everyone is provided with a body, which is a facility to enjoy. But at the same time, the body is inbuilt to make us realize that this is not the place where you're supposed to be. So this is the situation. How are we bound? This body is bound with three kinds of chains. Triguna, three modes of nature. Guna means rope. Guna also means the modes. How do you make a rope? Generally, you know, like women have their plaits. They take three strands, you know, their hair into three strands and then plait it into a... So like that, There are three modes of nature. And these modes actually bind the soul within a vehicle. It is like a small prison house. Actually, the soul is eternal. Soul doesn't die. Soul doesn't grow old. Soul doesn't get diseased or die, born. It is a body. And once you are put in a particular body, you will think and act according to the nature of that body. Once the soul enters the body of a hog, it cannot but be attracted by eating stool. Can you imagine what kind of a body is that? And they get nourished by it. They become fat. In this body, we can't. But in a particular body, a rat's body, a cockroach's body, once the soul is put in a particular kind of body, it just acts according to the nature of that body. And this is how the three modes of nature, broadly the three modes, are actually created. Now, what are the three modes of material nature? This is very unique understanding, very refined and highly scientific developed understanding presented only in the Vedic scriptures. You won't find it anywhere else. And a deeper understanding of this helps us to come out of this bondage. So therefore, please try to understand it a little carefully. So there are three modes of nature. It is called Sattvaguna, the mode of goodness, Rajoguna, the mode of passion, and Tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. So these are the three gunas. And every living entity, invariably, within this creation, has to be influenced by these three modes. As soon as we come into this world, material creation, we are immediately affected by these three modes. It is like a chain. Of course, Sattvaguna is like a gold chain. Rajoguna is like silver chain. And Tamoguna is like a iron chain. You may say, a prisoner may tell the other people, I have a gold chain. But still you are bound. But of all the chain, gold chain is better than silver or iron chain. But we are all bound. So what is Sattvaguna? So if you listen to the characteristics, whichever fits you, realize that you are in that mode. When I first read this, you know, it was like my autobiography. You don't have to raise your hand and tell which mode you belong to. The best is Sattva. The next best is Raja. And the lowest is the Tamoguna. And the lower the mode, the difficult it is to get out. It's just like, I once did an experiment in a class. I did it more interactive. I asked three volunteers to come out on the stage, come up on the stage. And to one, I gave a surgeon's gloves. You know, the plastic kind of a gloves, rubber gloves. And to the second boy, I gave a wicketkeeper's gloves, thick. And to the third boy, I gave a boxing gloves. And then I told them, after wearing the gloves, then I put in front of them, all of them, a box, and inside that was a small needle and a thread. And I said, I want you to put the thread in the eye of the needle. The man with the surgeon's glove, the boy with the surgeon's gloves, it took him 3 minutes. It would have taken 1 minute otherwise with his hands. But with his gloves, it took him 3 minutes to insert the thread into the needle's eye. The second one, Imagine wicketkeeper's gloves with thick fingers. He is trying, he was trying for 5-10 minutes just to pick up the needle. And somehow he managed to pick up, and he said, with two fingers I held it, but I can't now pick the thread. And the fellow with the boxing gloves, he was just scratching the box. I asked him, what did you feel? He said, helpless. And the amazing thing is, Krishna says in the Gita, a person in the mode of ignorance is helpless. So the soul can be compared to the hand. And the three modes can be compared to different levels of conditioning and bonding or bondage. So the lower the modes a person goes in, the difficult it is to actually get out. So let us quickly try to analyze what these modes are, what are the characteristics of people in different modes, and how do they interact, and what are their likes and dislikes. People in the mode of goodness, tatra sattvam nirmalatvat, nirmala, it is the purest of the three. Relatively, a person in the mode of goodness is more pure, more less or less, least bound. Prakashakam anamayam. Prakashakam means, anamayam means free of sins. He lives a very relatively pure lifestyle. And knowledgeable. He is inclined to acquire higher knowledge. He sees things in their proper perspective. He is less affected by miseries of the world. The miseries may be coming same to everyone, but the person in the mode of goodness is less affected by miseries. It does not affect him as much. He relatively lives a purer life. He is more attached to acquiring knowledge. He can see things in proper perspective. Doesn't confuse one thing with the other. And the classical example of these people are the scientists, the professors, the philosophers, more kind of intellectuals. Not necessarily intellectuals, but these are the people who are more knowledge. But then, what are they bound by? Bound by a sense of happiness and bound by a sense of I know better than the others. That becomes their binding. That's why it is called gold chain. They become proud. Potentially they can become proud. And because of so-called happiness, because they are more comfortable, they are not suffering as much as the others. And because they have knowledge, you can tolerate the sufferings. And therefore, there is a tendency for them to become complacent and not understand the importance of human life and take advantage and want to get out of this place. They want to make this place more comfortable so that they can stay here itself. It is like an AC prison house. Can you imagine in a prison house, AC, I'm better than the others. And therefore, there is a tendency to become complacent. That is the only danger faced by people in the mode of goodness. In the mode of passion, as the word itself indicates, rajoguna. Rajas means activity. They are very passionate and unlimited desires and longings. The more we have, the more we want. Never satisfied. And fruitive activity. What is in it for me? They always see what is the benefit that I will derive. And strong attraction between the opposite sex, lust. And sometimes it is so much that they aren't satisfied with whatever they have. And they sometimes go beyond the social and moral limitations and engage in illicit activities also, if it is increased. And then there is the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. Basically, they are so bound, it's like madness. Everyone sees, but they can't see. You see that your grandfather has died and your father has died and gone, but you think, I'm not going to die. And they live a life accumulating everything, and people wonder, where are you going to take all these things? Mad, not able to see things, not able to see things as they are. Laziness, even though they are actually very miserable, they are not able to understand. And they don't take the initiative to get out of such a situation. And mostly affected by sleep and intoxication. They just can't give it up. They are helpless. They know, but they just can't get out of it. Sometimes they don't even know. In fact, sometimes they find happiness in it. If you remember three famous brothers, you will remember very well these three modes. Vibhishan, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Classical example. Vibhishan was, he could see things as they are. He was very pious. And he was a well-wisher of Ravana. He advised him, what are you doing? He tried to guide him. And eventually he realized he was helpless. So he just took a clear step of what is beneficial for him. And he tried his best to save his brothers and his whole family. But when they were absolutely desperate, he said, all right, what can I do? And then Ravana, oh, he had Miss Universes from all over the planet. The Devakanyas, the Rajakanyas, the Rishikanyas, anything that was best, he wanted for himself. Still he was not satisfied. He came to know that there was one lady who's more beautiful than all of the ladies that I have in my harem, and therefore I wanted that. Neighbor's envy, owner's pride. He wasn't satisfied. And he would go to any extent. He didn't care. Morality, spirituality was not in his books. Everything is moral as long as it helps me. If it doesn't help me, it is immoral. He had a different language. He had a different conception of what is right and wrong. And Kumbhakarna, of course, sleep for the rest of the day. As soon as he would get up, fast food, whatever was available, he would eat and then go to sleep. A very gross way of putting it. But we find that these three gunas are practically all pervading. And in today's world, the mode of passion is given prominence. Success is measured by who is in the mode of which is the prominent mode. Person who is in the mode of passion. So, these are the three modes. Goodness, passion and ignorance. Everything in this world is divided into these three modes. Part of the day, early morning is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Sunrise to sunset, it's in the mode of passion. And after sunset, considered in the mode of ignorance. If you see the kind of activities that go on, early morning, people are, even a drunkard doesn't feel like drinking early in the morning. If he starts drinking early in the morning, that means really addicted now. So the morning, you see activity going on in the park or in the temple or somewhere, pious places of worship. And as soon as sun rises, activity starts in Nariman Point. Everyone is rushing, running. 5 o'clock, everything is cleared. 6 o'clock. Then the activity starts in the bar and some other places. Their life begins at particular time. What is night for one is day for another. And what is day for one is night for another. This is the reason why we are discussing one man's food is another man's poison. We will come to that. Food also. Food in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Food in the mode of goodness means it is described Ayuhu sattva balarogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha rasya snigdha tatha hridya ahara sattvika priya. Food is basically meant for three purposes. To increase your lifespan, to strengthen, to gain strength, and to purify one's existence. So, ayuhu, food that increases your lifespan, purifies your existence, sattva, gives you strength, aids strength, bala, and arogya, keeps you healthy. Sukha priti vivardhanaha is very, it's very happy, happily accepted, and it preeti, very satisfying. What kind of food are this? Rasya, rasya means juicy, and snigdha, snigdha means fatty. Fat that is derived from the animals, not by the slaughter, but by in the form of, you know, milk and cheese and ghee and whatever. Rasya snigdha, tatha hridya, hridya means very pleasing and satisfying. Ahara sattvika priya. Then, people in the mode of passion, katu amla labana tushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasa seshta dukha shoka amaya prada. Katu, highly bitter, highly pungent, highly spicy. Atyushna, tiksha and ruksha. Ruksha means dry and vidahinaha. Vidahamana means it really burns. It burns when you eat and it burns when you pass. Sorry to say, use such word. But that's the nature. Because these kind of foods dry up the mucus in the body. And therefore, you immediately want to drink water and you immediately want to, you know, consume something. Because it gradually destroys the mucus layer in the gastric pipe. So, dukkha shoka amaya prada causes misery, distress and disease. Practically all over the world today, people are through the fad for yoga, people are moving towards vegetarianism. More because of this, for the health reasons. Because they are realizing it keeps them more alert. Then, people, what is people, food liked by people in the mode of ignorance? Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Yata yamam, 3 hours after a food is cooked, it is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Yata yamam. Gata rasam. Gata rasam means it is stale, puti, foul smelling, paryushitam, decomposed. Uchishtam, what you eat and then remnants of somebody's food. And amedhyam, not to be consumed by human people. So these kind of things, bhojanam tamasa priyam, that kind of food is naturally liked by some kind of people. So we find the part of the day, the kind of food, the surrounding, the association determines this. It is not that a person is in one mode or another. Sometimes the sattva-guna is prominent and raja and tamo is defeated. Sometimes rajoguna comes up and sattva and tamo is defeated. And some part of the day or some part of one's life, the tamoguna may become prominent and sattva and raja may be defeated or subdued. And it all depends upon, we have the choice which kind of mode we want to create, stay and develop. The choice is ours. Knowledge is compared to a sword. This knowledge, transcendental knowledge given in the scripture, is compared to a sword. Anyone who is equipped with such a powerful, highly sharp sword can easily cut away the binding that is binding him for since time immemorial. Therefore, this knowledge is very important. But unfortunately, very few people are inclined to get this knowledge. Therefore, I must first of all congratulate you again. You have decided to take out 6 days, 6 evenings. Very difficult in Mumbai. And some of you, as well, many of you were telling me, one of them has applied leave for 10 days. Really, and it's amazing. And one of them said, nothing doing, I'll tell my boss, I am going out, that's all. And surprisingly, many have expressed, I said, never has he allowed, but today I don't know what has happened. See, somehow when we take a step wanting to move towards the Lord, Ichha ho to Bhagwan sadhan jodte hain, people say. We simply desire, and amazing how things fall into place. You look back, you can see that it is not happening by chance. There is some intervention in the Lord in our lives. We just need to show our desire to move towards Him. If you take one step towards Him, He takes 1,000. So that's that's very wonderful. I would like to, you know, express my gratitude. Of course, that gives me some seva, some service to share with you this wonderful knowledge. So, it depends upon the kind of food that we take. It depends upon the kind of environment we live in. It depends upon the kind of people we associate with. It depends upon the part of the day we want to become active. It's all a question of cultivation. And the more we are equipped with this knowledge, we can easily cut away our binding and actually feel free, real freedom acquired through this knowledge. That gives us liberation, mukti. In this very life, we can feel liberation from the miseries, from the sufferings, from the anxieties, fear, tension, worry, anxiety, so much. Just this knowledge elevates us and it gives us the strength and the power to become free. All living beings in the material world are conditioned by the three modes. Of course, someone who is prominently in the mode of goodness is actually called a Brahmana. Please try to understand. Brahmana does not mean having a name like Kulkarni or Bhattacharya and a 50 paisa thread hanging around the body. Brahmana means a person who is predominantly in the mode of goodness always. A Kshatriya means a person who is in the mode of passion. A Vaishya means mixed mode of passion and ignorance. And a Shudra means one who is in the mode of ignorance. There is no other criteria other than your quality and your activity. Guna karma, it is not based on birth. A son of a doctor, medical doctor, by birth does not become a doctor. Of course, he has more facility to become a doctor because he is born in such an environment. But unless he qualifies, he can't be a medical doctor. Similarly, a person may be born to a parents who are very in the mode of goodness. He has all the chance. But if he does not utilize that opportunity and misuses his independence to be in the lower modes, then one can easily be bound. And the more we get bound, the more helpless we become. A person can rise and a person can degrade in this very lifetime. And we see it all around us. You are what you... Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. A man is known by his company. Jaisa sang, waisa rang, people say, right? We see people degrading their consciousness and we see people elevating themselves. It's all in our hands. The choice is there. Independence is there. But the more we have this knowledge and proper association, we can actually get the strength and the determination and the discriminating power to make the right choice. Now we are going to solve many of the questions that were there in the last few days. So whoever asked, please listen carefully. Now, the conditioned soul. What is a conditioned soul? Conditioned soul means a person, a soul in a particular body, who has over a period of time developed a particular type of conditioning to respond to a situation in a particular way. It's up to us. If you are conditioned in the mode of goodness, we respond to a situation in a particular way. In the mode of passion, you respond in a different way. To the same situation, to the same stimulus, you respond differently according to what kind of conditioning you have. Now, the soul being conditioned acts according to the mode of it, nature it comes in contact with. Purusha prakriti sthohi bhumte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sad asad yoni janmashu. The soul, when it comes into this material world, whatever mode it associates, that kind of body he receives. And once he receives a body, you have no choice. You had a choice before accepting. Once you accept, you are restricted. A particular body. So, why there are so many different kinds of species of life? Because there are different kinds of desires and different kind of qualifications. You get a body according to what you desire and what you deserve. Desiring is your of your heart, and deserving is by your activity you show that I want to develop that qualification. Just like everyone wants to become a doctor. You may have a desire, but you have to make yourself deserving by passing some entrance exam. So, today whatever we have or wherever we want to go, we must have a desire and we have to make ourselves deserving to get that position. We seek happiness on the material platform according to our conditioning. This is the reason why you will always have one person. Remember we discussed on the first day? One person can make your life miserable. And if one goes away, 10 will come. You know why? Because these three modes will always exist. These three modes are always existing. So there are always people in the mode of ignorance. There will always be people who are in the mode of passion. There will always be people in the mode of goodness. So if you are traveling in a train, suddenly one person wants to smoke and you are miserable if you are not a smoker. So now they have a non-smoker zone and smoker zone. Or somebody wants to listen to some kind of music, you feel it's just a loud noise. Different people have different, according to the modes that you are, the kind of happiness people seek is different. People in the mode of goodness find happiness in sharing their joys with others, compassion, charity, etc. They find happiness. To see others happy is the happiness of people in the mode of goodness. And therefore, they sometimes sacrifice to make others happy. People in the mode of passion, at the cost of others, they make themselves happy. I want what I want when I want. I don't care if it means suffering to others. And people in the mode of ignorance find happiness in seeing others' misery. I'm putting it in a more gross way. But we all do that. We all are affected to some extent or another. Sometimes we find happiness when someone suffers, especially if you don't like that person. Good, very nice. Very nice. You know, we find this is like happiness in the mode of ignorance. Happiness in the mode of passion makes you a little hard-hearted. I don't care, even if it means suffering for others. I want what I want when I want. And in the mode of goodness, if you see everyone happy, you feel happy. We are all affected by all these things. But one must cultivate and move to a higher level. And mode of goodness is the best mode, like a springboard, to transcend the mode through the conditioning. So we should gradually rise from the lower to the higher modes by knowledge, by proper association, and by cultivation. We are forced to helplessly act according to the impulses born of the modes of nature. Isn't it amazing? In Marathi they say, kalat hai pan valat nahi. I know, but I can't stop. Arjuna asked Krishna this question. Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchannapi varshneya baladiva niyojita. Impelled by what, O Krishna, is a person forced to commit activities which he knows it is not good for me, but helplessly, as if pulled by some force, as if dragged. I know it's not good for me. I know I shouldn't be doing it. I should not be doing it. But I just can't stop it. Some kind of force is pushing me to do it. They are called pushings. They are called urge. It's an urge. Everyone knows drinking alcohol is bad for the liver. But they just can't stop it. Every cigarette packet says cigarette smoking injurious to health. I know that. But I really don't care. They just can't stop it. There's so many habits, bad habits. Or sometimes you feel lusty, you feel angry, you feel envious. Sometimes out of anger, forced out of anger, people end up, for a few seconds, they end up saying something, doing something for which they regret so much later. Sometimes a whole week, sometimes a whole month, sometimes a whole year, sometimes for decades, sometimes for the whole lifetime. I don't know why I did that. But you are pulled, you are forced to do something. You know it, but you can't control it. And Krishna answers it. Kamayesha krodhayesha rajoguna samudbhava. It is lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion, O Arjun, which is the soul bound by. And they are like ropes pulling you, dragging you, and you are helplessly dragged as if someone is pulling you by chain. Helplessly dragged. So unless we cut these chains, we will become a slave. Slave to our lower nature. And what is lower nature? Lower nature means the mode of passion and ignorance. And what is higher nature? The good dog and the bad dog, as they say. Both are in us. There are so many voices coming. There is a voice of the Lord in the heart. There is a voice of the mode of goodness. Let go. It's all right. Don't take it so seriously. Don't allow your ego to come up. Chhod ma tuse. Another voice is saying, don't leave him. Give him a piece of your mind. And the other one says, khatam hi kar dalo. Na rahega baans, na bajegi baansuri. And you're confused and bewildered, you know. Whose voice is the Lord's voice? Dharma Sankat. This is called Dharma Sankat. So therefore, a deep understanding of the subject matter is very necessary to have discrimination. Which voice to act upon? Which voice to listen to? And fine-tune in such a way that you subdue all the other voices and cultivate the conscience. Actually, the conscience is nothing but the Lord in the heart speaking. Sometimes you feel guilty. Actually, sometimes through philosophically we stop that guilt. But truly, that guilt is nothing. The conscience is nothing but the Lord in the heart trying to help you. Hey, that's not good for you. But sometimes we neglect and ignore and stub it actually. So that it becomes totally silent. Just shut up. I know what's good for me. It's like a good friend who's just with you. Unless you ask him, he won't speak. Impure desires, born of the three modes, pervert our pure spiritual desires. What is love and what is lust? Both look alike. One is like gold, another one is like iron. Both are metal. Love means to serve. So when love is directed toward the object of love, to give pleasure to the object of love, that is a higher love. But when that object of love is your own self, and to please yourself, you don't mind doing anything to anyone, that becomes lust. Lust is more selfish. Love is more selfless. It is the same emotion. In its pure state, you want to please the Lord. You want to dedicate your life. You want to serve Him. You want to serve His children. That's love in its pure form. But in a more restricted, concentrated form to your own self, it becomes more selfish. I want to please my senses. My mind says like this, I want to do this. I don't care who feels what. So it is the same emotion, but when covered by the lower modes, it comes out in an ugly way, right? Yesterday somebody asked this question. You asked that question, various characteristics. You asked the question, right? Yeah. This is the answer to that. It is the same pure, all godly qualities, because all the soul are part of God, it is dormant in us. But now it is covered over. Just like I said, a white light covered by blue light. If you put a blue light of 0 watt, the room is more dark. Red is little more bright. Yellow is the brightest. Blue represents the mode of ignorance. Red here represents the mode of passion. And yellow or white represents, or yellow represents the mode of goodness, and pure white represents the purest mode. Like that. Thus the soul is forced to take birth again and again in this material world. And as long as you are in the lower modes, you have so many desires to fulfill. And because as long as you have a desire, even one desire, to fulfill that, you are given another life, another opportunity, another facility, according to whatever you deserve and according to what you desire. And in this way, our existence in this material world goes on and on and on. Till we decide to become desireless. What? Desireless? How can we become desireless? Even to become desireless is a desire, isn't it? The only way to become desireless is to make your desire one with God's desire. Thy will be done. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam. My Lord, from today onwards, your desire is my desire. I have no separate desire. The day we think like this or act like this, that is the beginning of our end in this material existence. And that is the beginning of our journey back home to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. So this is about Prakriti. Very short, crisp, brief description. Some other time we will discuss in more detail, because we are supposed to cover this within 2 hours. Now, so this is the third subject. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti we finished. Now the fourth subject is Kala. What is Kala? It is time factor. What is this Kala? Kala, no one can see. You can see the watch, but you can't see time. But you can perceive time by its influence on various objects. After 10 years, you go to your native place and suddenly you see your friend. Arey, bahut bada ho gaya yaar tu. Suddenly a child, I say, toh bachchi thi, aaj bahut badi ho gayi. Or you look at a bud. Over a period of time, it has become blossomed into flower. The same flower over a period of time has just, you know, completely, all the petals have fallen off and it's become completely finished. You can't see time, but you can see its effect on objects in this world. So therefore, what is this time? It is actually God's energy. Krishna says in the Gita, Kalosmi, I am time. I am time. In one sense, the same time can be God's embrace and the same time can be God's slap. It depends how you want to see it. To the extent we are attached to the things of this world, we don't want, I want to be a controller. Where are all the controllers? Where are all the Hitlers? Where is the British Empire, which sun never used to set? They used to say, the sun never sets in the British Empire. The other day I was in London. Sun never rises there. If sun rises for a few minutes, people take a beer bottle and go and take out their clothes and sit in the park and enjoy. Time changes everything. People who are riding the wave of time ultimately bite the dust. People think they are the controllers. I am the creator. I am the proprietor. I am the enjoyer. How long? It's like a wave. You know, sometimes children go on the bank of the, I don't know, go to the seashore. And the parents are watching, and the children are busy taking the sand and constructing sand castles. And after constructing castle, two children sit on the two sides, and then they start making a hole, and then they shake hands. Bahut bada bana liya castle. But as they are busy making this, they're so absorbed in making this sand castle that they don't realize that it is there, in the what is high tide. Every 6 hours there is a high tide. And then, you know, the waves start coming. But they are so absorbed. Wow, we already did it. Now, what a castle, what is this? And they are so absorbed and suddenly one huge wave comes. Then they see the whole castle is gone. And then they throw their hands and feet. Mummy, what is this? And the parents are laughing. Murkh bacha. Ja ke banaya bhi kahan banaya? Samudra ke tat pe. The Bible says, don't build on the sand. Build it on the rock. Build your wealth on the spiritual platform. On the platform of the soul. The soul is eternal. Any wealth that you acquire in this world will either be rusted or will be finished, go into dust. But if you acquire the wealth on the platform of the soul, that's eternal. Neha vikrama nashosti. It will never be lost. It is eternally to your credit. That is why discrimination, asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. From temporary move to the permanent, from death move to deathlessness. That's good intelligence. Invest your energy. Time is very ayusha kshanayekopi nalabhya swarna koti. Chanakya Pandit says, one moment of human life, human form of life especially, is worth billions and billions of gold coins. Because you may pay billions of gold coins, but you won't get one second time. Time is so precious, especially in the human life, because only in the human life can you acquire this knowledge and go beyond this material existence. Find the ultimate solution to life. Find the ultimate happiness. And time flies. Before you know, you are uncle and auntie. Before you know, you are grandma and grandpa. And before you know, you are a picture on the wall. बड़े अच्छे थे हमारे दादाजी. The most powerful force in the material world and is the ultimate among killers. If you don't surrender to the Lord willingly, you will be forced to surrender to Him unwillingly. Because eventually, in the form of time, it finishes everything. It snatches everything. Before somebody snatches, why don't you offer it with love? Anyway, the Lord is going to take it off in the form of time or willingly if you offer it. You make progress. You make advancement. Anyway, it's going to be going. So why not utilize it to the best way? Is the cause of all transformation in Prakriti. It is because of time that the cycle, you know, Sat, Treta, Dwapar, Kali Yuga. Even in the body under birth, growth, stability, producing offsprings, dwindling, death. It's like a cycle. Again, you take birth, then you grow, then you stay for some time, then you produce offsprings, then you dwindle, and then you die. This transformation, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jathareshayana. This is called bhava sagara, the wave. That's why the Vedic time is cyclic. If you see a Mahabharata serial, previous one, very interesting how beautifully they have depicted time. They show a wheel. Mai kaal hu. Right? I am watching everything. I have seen people coming like a rat, becoming like a lion, eventually going like a rat. They've all come, they will have their day. Solomon Grundy, born on Monday, grew up on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, produced children on Thursday, grew old, died on Sunday. This is the story of Solomon Grundy, just goes on and on. That's the nature. The body is born, the body is going to. The soul within that body has taken millions of births. Just sometimes going up, sometimes going down. You know, sometimes you have this Ferris wheel, giant wheel. You know, in the exhibition, you have this huge giant wheel. And these kids go and sit. And they really enjoy. They have a good time when it is going up. Ah, whoo. And when it comes down, they have a funny feeling. They start crying. Then they go up, they enjoy. And then they come down and they cry. Similarly, in this cycle of birth and death, in the beginning we are enjoying. Wow, I'm controlling everything. I figured out everything. I've established everything. I'm the controller. And then, hey, everything is slipping away. You're crying. As the wheel comes down, it's like a bulldozer, eventually crushes. I'm sorry if I'm sounding very pessimistic, but sometimes truth is very bitter. Truth is very painful if you have not realized the truth. But the same truth becomes blissful when you are not sick. If there is a boil on the skin, somebody even comes near the boil, what to speak of touching, you feel painful. But when you are a healthy skin, anyone touches, nothing happens. When you are self-realized, when you realize you are not the body or the soul through proper practice, time becomes a wonderful opportunity to express your love for God. Every second is a gift to express that love. And the final death comes in the form of Lord's embrace. Come, my dear child, you have suffered enough. Come back to me. But the same death for a person who is not surrendered to the Lord, who wants to be the controller, is like a door opening, the most painful thing. It's like a rat and the kitten. The cat holds the rat also in its mouth. The cat holds the kitten also in its mouth. For the rat, it is death personified to see the mouth of the cat or first thing in the morning. Aaj din bura gaya. But for its own kitten, actually the cat, if you see, carries its kitten in the mouth. For the kitten, the same mouth of the cat is like, wow, the most softest. It's actually a sign of love and affection of the mother. It is the most comfortable place. So for a self-realized soul, death is the door to eternal life. And for a man who is conditioned, desperately trying to be the controller and proprietor, take the position of God, it is a most inauspicious thing, because it's going to snatch away everything that you strived for, everything that you struggled for. In 1 second, it's going to be taken away. It's very painful. In the Purana, death is compared to 42,000 scorpions biting at the same time. One scorpion itself, people die out of pain than poison. Why? Because imagine everything being taken away from you. All that you loved, all that you acquired, all that you lived for. In 1 second, everything will be taken away. So the same time can be seen as loving embrace of the Lord. And the same time can be seen as most horrible thing which has come to take everything away from you. Snatch it away in a very unpleasant way. The choice is up to us. So before death comes, if we can die to independent, separate desires from the Lord and make the Lord's desire one with us, we are liberated. We are actually self-realized. And finally, the last topic, the fifth topic, and that is karma or activity. So this will answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, what is the definition of karma? Activities performed by the living entity, conditioned by the three modes, under the control and purview of time. So activities, in the last 1.5 hours, activities performed by the living entity, me, the living entity, the soul, conditioned by the three modes, I have a body made up of the three modes of nature, under the control and purview of time, this soul in this particular body has performed some activity. What is the activity? I have been speaking. This is called karma. Activities performed by the living entity in the bound by the three modes, under the control and purview of time. That is called as karma. Now, please understand, the law, the karma is not just according to our whims and fancies. There is a law that governs every activity that we do. You can't get away by doing anything and think, chalta hai. Nobody saw. I did it in the middle of the night. I did it in the middle of the desert. I did it inside the room. No. There is a law that governs every activity. Not just the activity. Every thought, every word, and every action, there has to be a reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite. Newton's third law. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. So you can't think that you can just do anything and everything the way you want and just get away with it. I'm sorry. People may not like to hear this, but the fact is this. We are accountable for everything we think, speak, and do. Therefore, we must be aware of the consequences of the activities we perform. Now, some preliminary knowledge of the law of karma. There are two types of karma activity that are described in scriptures. All the scriptures basically contain two statements: vidhi and nishedh, do's and don'ts, prescriptions and prohibitions. What to do, how to do, when to do, what not to do, when not to do, how not to do. That's what scriptures are all about. And especially the Vedic literatures, they are designed of different levels. In the mode of ignorance, there are so many do's and don'ts. In the mode of passion, there are do's and don'ts. In the mode of goodness, there are do's and don'ts. So the do's and don'ts on top level are much more subtler, much more responsible. Just like for children, the rules are okay. If children makes noise, passes stool and urine on the lap of the mother, nobody takes it seriously. Cheh, beta, aisa nahi karna chahiye. Bolna chahiye tha na. But if a 16-year-old does it on the lap of the mother, you think the father will keep quiet? So in the mode of ignorance, there are certain do's and don'ts. Very simple. A lot of concessions are given. But in the mode of passion, little more. In the mode of goodness, little more. Higher and higher. It's not just one rule for all. Therefore, we find in the Vedic literature, different levels of people have different responsibilities. If a householder unites with his wife, that is perfectly all right. As long as, you know, it is his own wife. But if a sannyasi unites even once with any woman, that's considered wrong. So it's not the activity, it is the qualifications. It's only in the Vedic literature that there are different gradations of like a KG school to PhD level. You can't put everyone there, but people don't understand. Sometimes they criticize Vedic literature for saying, what is this? These people are allowed, these people are not allowed. Distinctions are made. Caste distinctions or things like that. No, according to qualification, responsibilities are more. Right is also more, responsibilities are also more. If a thief steals, not a big thing. If a policeman steals, it comes in the newspaper. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. So, good and bad. And when you do it, how you do it. If a man breaks the window of someone's house and enters inside, that's a wrong thing. But if the house is on fire and the child is lying there alone and shouting and somebody breaks the window and comes inside, he gets a Paramveer Chakra award for bravery. So the activity in and of itself is good, not good or bad. Good and bad is very relative term. Who does it? What was his qualification? When did he do? What was the intent? So the law of karma is very subtle. Two people may do the same mistake but are punished differently. It is not injustice. It is perfect justice. The mills of God grind slowly but exceedingly fine. If a responsible person does the same mistake, he's given harder punishment. If a foolish person does it, it's not considered so much. It is applicable only to the human beings. It is not applicable to the lower species. If a cow or a dog crosses the red signal, police won't find him and give him a... But if you cross, you're going to get it. Because in the lower species, they are simply serving time. They are helplessly bound. They are helplessly bound. They respond according to instincts. They have no independence. A tiger will die but not eat grass. And a cow will die but not eat flesh. There are herbivores and there are carnivores. We are in the middle. Because we have a choice. We are called omnivores. Everything you do, so particular kind of activity has particular response or reactions. So, it is only applicable to the human beings. The law of karma, the scriptures are given only in the human species. You can't show the Bhagavad Gita to the dog. रात को नहीं भोकने का, मैं सोया वहां में. गलत बात है. इट इज रूल के अगेंस्ट है. 10 बजे के बाद रात को भोकना नहीं चाहिए. यू कैन डू दैट. दैट डज दे आर फंक्शनिंग इंस्टिंक्टिवली. दे आर सिंपली सर्विंग टाइम. द लोअर स्पीशीज, इट इज जस्ट सर्व टाइम इन द प्रिजन हाउस. ओनली इन द ह्यूमन बीइंग इट इज अ जंक्शन. दैट्स व्हाई इट्स कॉल्ड अ जंक्शन. हियर यू हैव अ चॉइस. यू कैन गो अप, remain where you are, or go down. Because you have choice, responsibility is also more. When you don't have choice, there is no responsibility. But when you have choice, the more choice you have, the more responsible you are. And it is expected that we utilize that crest jewel of independence that has been given only in the human life, the prerogative of human life. And therefore it is very, very responsible and very important and very precious and very rare. Human life is very rare. Yes, yesterday's question. There is instant karma and there is delayed karma. Just like you have instant coffee, you put the coin and press the button and psh, coffee comes out. This is called instant action, instant reaction. Then there is delayed reaction. That means you do something, you get a reaction after 10 hours. You do something, you get reaction after 10 years. Just like you go on the street and slap the first person that comes in front of you. Action. You can be sure you get reaction instantly. Sometimes it may be double also. This is called instant karma and instant reaction. You go to Chowpati on Saturday night, eat nice bhel puri. Wow, had a good time. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, rumbling sound in your stomach. Kuch to gadbadi hai. Kya hua? Oh, bhel puri 10 ghante pahile. So that was the action. This is the delayed reaction. Sometimes you acquire a disease which has an incubation period of say 10, 20 years. It is lying dormant, but it manifests after 20 years. This is called delayed reaction. Sometimes you do in this life and you get it in next life. So somebody may say, this is not good. God, you must be little more, you know, intelligent. I'll teach you some lessons. Jo bhi hai yahi kara de yaar. Don't postpone it to next life. थप्पड़ मारना है तो अभी मार दे. Isn't it? Do you not feel like that? जो भी करना, सपोज सडनली आई कम एंड स्लैप यू. क्यों? तूने पिछले जन्म में मारा था. हु इज द विटनेस? हु इज द प्रूफ? फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल एंड देन द ह्यू मे स्लैप ट्वाइस एंड से पिछले जन्म का ये. व्हाई डज गॉड डू लाइक दिस? इज ही सो लेस इंटेलिजेंट? जो भी इधर करा दो, फिनिश ड्यूज. व्हाई डज ही पोस्टपोन इट टू नेक्स्ट लाइफ? आंसर इज वेरी सिंपल. सपोज देर इज वन मैन हु मर्डर्स वन पर्सन एंड अकॉर्डिंग टू द लॉ ऑफ द स्टेट ही मस्ट बी हैंग टू डेथ और लाइफ इंप्रिजनमेंट. Sense, absolutely justice, it makes sense. Tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, life for a life. One person comes, takes a gun and shoots 150 people. And what is the sentence for him? Hang to death and life imprisonment. Isn't that unjust? You killed one man, okay, life imprisonment is okay. If you have killed 150, then you should be hanged 150 times and given 150 life imprisonment. But if you do that, it's a joke. Either the government is unjust because it is wrong justice. One life imprisonment, 150 life, the same punishment. That means this is unjust. But in the government of God, there is perfect justice. There is perfect justice. For everything that you do, the reaction is come. Okay, I have so much reaction that one life is not enough. Don't worry, we have enough time. I have enough time for you to give it out, to mete it out. But for every action, there has to be a reaction. This makes sense. How many times have we not felt this person is doing all nonsense and just getting away? And look at this person. Everything that he's been doing is the most pious thing, and the only thing he knows in his life is suffering and suffering and suffering. How do we understand this? One time I was in the hospital in the GT. I told you that I used to go visit a hospital. And one man asked me, Swamiji, is God dead? क्यों भाई क्या हो गया? जिंदगी में मैंने कभी कुछ जब से मुझे क्या बोलते हैं हाँ 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 होश संभाला कभी मैंने किसी का कुछ बुरा नहीं किया. He had AIDS and this man within 7 weeks he died because it was completely just sucking, sucking it up his whole life. He told me, I never done. Never done anything in my life as I remember. And I'm only suffering. And I know I can name and list you hundreds of people who have done all kinds of nonsense. And they're enjoying full good health and doing all nonsense. I tell you, there isn't God. And even if he's there, he's unjust. Either God is dead or if he's there, he's a very unjust person. Then I told him, in the village, sometimes they have what is called as silos, you know, a huge drum where they store grains, 3-ton, 4-ton, huge drums, where they store grains and they have a small hole at the bottom from which they take out quota for weekly quota or daily quota. So I told him, in the 3-ton, suppose this year you got first class grain and you put it. And in the next year you got third class grain. And you're putting from the top. But when you open from the bottom, what comes? First class grain. And if a foolish child is watching when you're pouring the third class grain, he thinks that this drum is very magical. You're putting third class and first class is coming out. No, wait. As soon as this first class is out, the same thing will come out. So, the problem is because we see life from the womb to the tomb. But this is not what life is all about. This life is just an insignificant, tiny fraction of a long journey of the soul in this material world. This is just a blink of an eye. This karma, what we are suffering in this or enjoying, is one fist from the go down of our Sanchita karma. Sanchita karma means lifetimes and lifetimes of karmas dormant, lying dormant in the heart. One lifetime is just a fistful. As soon as a person understands this, when good things happen, a person feels happy, thanks the Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Some good karma is getting exhausted. And when sufferings come, a devotee of the Lord thanks and say, thank you, my Lord, the bad karmas are getting exhausted. When his consciousness is only, okay, this karma is getting exhausted, this, both the times he just thanks the Lord. Such a person is fit for liberation. Because he knows the Lord's justice is perfect. And he accepts it with a grateful heart. Thank you, my Lord. Whether it is a cup of nectar or a cup of poison, it is you who have sent it. A mother sometimes may pat a child and sometimes she may slap the child. A foolish child thinks, she hates me. And she loves him. But actually, her slap and her pat, both is an expression of her love. Sometimes she wants to correct the child, sometimes she wants to encourage the child. Yeah, that's the question that was asked yesterday. Why sometimes the whole country suffers? Sometimes the whole family suffers? Sometimes the whole community suffers? Sometimes an individual suffers? Why? Because there is two things called as individual karma and collective karma. Collective karma means, in nature, all the kind of people who have a particular kind of karma are put in a particular place, and like German concentration camp, everyone is put in one place and the gas started. Not a very good example, but I'm just telling. So sometimes a particular, we see a whole family suffering. Sometimes we see whole communities suffering. Sometimes we see a whole state suffering. Sometimes we see a whole nation suffering. It is like-minded karma people put by nature under particular situation, and the karma button is on. So it is individual and collective. Of course, every individual suffers his own or her own karma. But sometimes collectively we see, sometimes, you know, in an ill-fated plane that is about to crash, all the people who are going, we have seen this. Somebody who missed the flight, he was cursing and then he realized that crash. He said, I got escaped. And somebody somehow desperately wanted to go to some place. Somebody cancelled and he entered and he's never come back. So a particular kind of karma, people are dragged into one particular place, and collectively that karma is, you know, very in an optimal way. Nature also functions very optimally. Why waste energy? All people with a particular karma are put in one place. So after hearing, you may say, thank you so much. Today I have understood the law of karma. Today I will go to my home and I will write down all the good karmas I did and all the bad karmas. Two good karma, two bad karma, cancel, cancel, quits. Mera account clear ho gaya. Seems so nice, isn't it? But let me tell you, or sometimes you may say, theek hai, abhi pata chala, par abhi tak mujhe maalum hi nahi tha. Bhagwan maaf karenge na? Till now, thank you. Now I have understood. The class is very clear, at least theoretically. From today onwards, I will not do anything nonsense. But whatever I have done so far, I think God must excuse. Sorry. Ignorance of the law is no excuse to escape reaction. Doesn't it sound very mean on the part of God to say this? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I also thought similar way till I had a very special experience in Mumbai. The first time I came to Mumbai, you know, Bangalore, young student coming, you know, for a conference. I landed at Bandra and, Dadar, and I was supposed to go to Bandra. And I said, bow. So I've come to Mumbai and take a train. And the train came. And I was really shocked. I thought the people were hanging. So I thought, maybe this is an emergency train. Maybe, you know, some place is on fire and therefore I think like a fire brigade. Then I said, I'll take the next one. And the next one came and equally everyone hanging, third one, fourth one. Then I realized Bombay is in emergency 24 hours. So I was wondering, how do I get in? But smart that I am, and you know, come from Bangalore, young man, very intelligent, I made a discovery. And the discovery was, one particular compartment was relatively always less crowded. And I said, wow, I'll go and stand there. And sure enough, the next train, that same compartment was relatively less. And I walked in, I said, logon ko dimag nahi hai, kahan ghusna hai? And I entered, and fortunately or unfortunately for me, somebody tapped on my shoulder and said, ticket. And I graciously pulled out, I said, I never travel ticketless. I'm a gentleman, you know. And he looked at me and charged a big price. I said, kyun ticket liya na? No, gentleman, this is first class compartment. I said, first class? Wo kaise pata lagta hai? Pata lagta hai, abhi pata lagega aapko. Ye dekho, ye sofa dikhta hai. Usko abhi andar ghusne ke baad dekha. I saw it only now. And then he pushed my head out and, do you see these stripes? I said, yeah, now I see. Since then, I'm very stripe conscious. And I told him, I just showed him my pass and, you know, I card, and I said, this is the first time I have come. You must excuse me. You know, thus I didn't know. He said, this is just to confirm that you never forget. And he said, very interesting point, he said, you think all Mumbaiites are fools? And you made a very smart discovery. Ye sab gadhe hai, tu bada hoshiyar hai. I said, now you pay up so that you will never make this mistake again. So similarly, in human form of, and he also told me one thing. He said, it is your responsibility, having come to Mumbai, to find out what are the laws here and follow it. Otherwise, you'll learn the hard way. So similarly, having got a human form of life, it is our responsibility to understand the scriptures and live by it. Otherwise, you will going to learn the hard way. You think you are very smart? You can get away? Sorry, sir. You have to pay the fine. And you can't say, no, no, I didn't know. You could have said it when you were a dog or a cat or a monkey. You can't tell when you are in the human form of life. Because in the human form of life, it's your responsibility to understand the law. Having come to Mumbai, you have to know the laws of Mumbai. So ignorance of the law in the human form of life is no excuse to escape reaction. All right, I think everything is predestined. Jab khana aayega, muh mein apne aap aa jayega. If everything is predestined, then why work? Chup-chap baithe raho. Mere bhagya mein 1 lakh rikha hai, to lakhpati ho jaunga. 1 crore likha hai to crorepati, nahi to road pe. If everything is predestined, then why work? This is also very important to understand that what is the destiny is nothing but what you have sown in the past. It's just coming back. How you respond to those situations is still in your hands. But once you respond, then it is out of your hand. Say for by destiny you have 100 rupees and you are in front of a shop, you are thirsty and there is a bottle of liquor and a bottle of fruit juice. You have a choice which one you want to pick up. You can't say, I am destined to drink the right one or this one. No, you have a choice. But once you pay and put it to your lips, then you have no choice. You have to just face the reaction. So no one can ever say that I have no choice. Even the reactions, good or bad when they come, how you respond is still in your hands. By responding in a proper way, you can actually overcome those situations and go beyond the laws of karma. This is what I was expressing previously. So having heard, okay, this is good karma, bad karma. Go home, make a chart, take a ledger. All good karma, all bad karma, cancel, account close. I wish things were as simple. But sorry, good and bad karma don't cancel out each other. For every good karma, you will enjoy good reactions. Knowingly, unknowingly, it will come upon you. Unexpectedly, it may come upon you. And for every bad karma, there has to be a corresponding reaction. Sometimes unexpected, sometimes expected, whatever. Can't cancel out each other. For your good karma, you may be born in a billionaire's family. But for your bad karma, you may be born with such a handicap that you can't even appreciate what you're enjoying. You can't even understand or take full advantage. Sometimes we see that. So many legal complications, tremendous anxiety. So they can't cancel out each other. Huh? With some kind of prayaschitta, some kind of repentance, some kind of activities, you can reduce the sufferings of bad reactions, sufferings of bad karma and the bad reactions. But you can't counteract it. You can't counteract or cancel one or the other. But there are billions of lifetimes of karma. One life is not enough. So what should we do? If in this one lifetime we want to cancel all, is there any option? But before that we must understand, good and bad karma, good or bad, both are binding. In an absolute point of view, both are bad. Because for good karma, you have to come back and enjoy. And for bad karma, you have to come back and suffer. But once you come back in this world, you have to grow old, get disease and die, and suffer miseries from body and mind, natural disturbances, other living entities. So good or bad, from an absolute point of view, it is bad. तो करे क्या महाराज? गुड भी नहीं, बैड भी नहीं, करे क्या? चुपचाप बैठे रहे. यू कांट इवन सिट क्वाइट बिकॉज पापी पेट का सवाल है. रोटी कपड़ा और मकान के लिए करना तो पड़ता है कुछ. करो तो तकलीफ, नहीं करो तो तकलीफ. डैम्ड इफ यू डू, डैम्ड इफ यू डोंट. सो व्हाट आर वी सपोज टू डू? समबडी मे आस्क, व्हाट आर वी सपोज टू डू देन? दैट इज व्हाई इट सेज टू एस्केप रिएक्शन ऑल टूगेदर फ्रॉम गुड और बैड. You have to perform what is called as akarma. So what are the three types of karma? One is good karma, which is pious activity. Good karma is called pious activity, punya. And that is as per the scriptural directions. Whatever the scriptures say, if you act according to the scriptures, it's called pious activity and you are given good reactions. Then there is vikarma. Vikarma means it is against the scriptural directions and it is considered sinful and it has bad reactions. Then there is the third one, and that is akarma. Akarma means actions which have no reaction. No reaction? Just now you said every action has a reaction. And now we are saying that there are some action which has no reaction. Rather, forget about no reaction. It will cancel away all bad reactions of the past. What is that reaction? Or what is that action? That is what is called as yoga, which will be the whole discussion for tomorrow, which will be doing that. So, I'll give you an example of what is akarma, which has no reaction. Suppose, God forbid, but India declares war with some neighboring country. So all the young Indians are enrolled in the army. They are given uniform, they are given bullets, they are given the gun, and they are given an order, go and shoot the enemy soldiers. And a person goes and shoots, say, 100 enemy soldiers. He may become a national hero. He is given a Paramvir Chakra award and given 1 month leave, go home and enjoy. You suffered, you know, you did so much for the country. And he goes home. And one day, suddenly he has a fight with his neighbor. So he pulls out the same gun and so the same government calls him, court-martials him, and probably hangs him to death or puts him in life imprisonment. So the man may say, what nonsense is this? I kill 100 people and you give me a medal and 1 month vacation. And I kill just one man and you give me the noose. You want me to hang? So the government is going to say, yes, we gave you the uniform, we gave you the gun, we gave you the bullets, and we gave you the instruction on what, for what is the purpose. And when you used it according to our instruction, for our interest, even though you killed people, but you did it on our behalf, we take the responsibility for all the killings. And for obeying our order, we award you by becoming a very, very respected citizen of our nation. And all your past records are, whether good or bad, everything is forgotten. You are a national hero now, Paramvir Chakra. But when you took our facility, but went against our instruction and shot somebody for your interest, you have to take the reaction. Though the facility is ours, but you misused it. Similarly, God has given us a body, God has given us a mind, God has given us intelligence, the senses, and God has also given us the manual, the instruction manual. Use it like this, and whatever faults occur, I take the responsibility, because you are doing it on our behalf, on my behalf, and therefore, Sara khun, saath khun maaf. Everything is forgiven because you are doing it on our behalf. In fact, you are rewarded. All your millions of lifetimes of reactions are forgotten because you have surrendered to do my will. But when you use all the facility I have given to go against my instruction, you have to suffer. It is your responsibility. I have made a law. And according to that law, I don't intervene. The law takes care. But if you surrender to me, I personally intervene. This is what Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna didn't want to fight. But Krishna told Arjuna, I want you to fight. I have come to establish dharma. And this is my design, my will. That dharma, adharma must be rooted out. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachi. Arjun, you simply become an instrument of my will. Even though Duryodhana is sitting on the chariot, shooting arrows, killing people. Arjuna is sitting on the chariot, shooting arrows, killing people. Both are doing the same activity. But there is a big difference. That, as they say, jameen asman ka antar hai. Even though both are doing the same activity, there is a big difference because their intentions are different. So spiritual life is not about a change of dress. Spiritual life is not about a change of hairstyle. Spiritual life is not about a change of location from the home to the ashram or to the Himalayas. Spiritual life is about a change of consciousness, a change of motivation, a change of intention. The Lord sees your intention. It's not what you do. Why you do what you do makes an activity material and degrading, or spiritual and elevating. And that is what true yoga is all about. So tomorrow, and finally, when we live, life is a preparation, death is the examination. When we live a life of akarma, when we live a life of yoga, every word, every thought, every action of ours, we learn the scriptures and harmonize our interest with the interest of the Lord. That is called sharanagati. That is called a surrender. That is the perfection of yoga. And how to do it? In our day-to-day life, irrespective of wherever we are situated in this world, somebody may be a householder, somebody may be engineer, a doctor, whatever, housewife. It doesn't matter where you are. Arjun was a householder. Arjuna had responsibilities, family responsibility, social responsibility, occupational responsibility. Anyone can practice spirituality if they only transform the heart and understand the intent or purify their intent behind the action. And when a life is lived like that, life is a preparation and death is the examination. So when we love God and remember the Lord says in the Gita, Antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevan, one who remembers me at the time of death, upon giving up this body, doesn't have to come back to this material world, but achieves my eternal abode. So tomorrow we'll be discussing the most important part, the practical application. All that we have discussed so far is more theoretical. But tomorrow we'll be discussing the practical aspect. My sincere request to all of you is, please do not miss tomorrow. Otherwise it's like going to the doctor and taking the best medicine and keeping it in the locker and forgetting the key. Or taking a flight ticket and not getting onto the flight. So tomorrow we'll be discussing absolutely practical, down-to-earth spiritual activities. What does it really mean to be spiritual? How to remain where we are, but at the same time, purify ourselves and progress in spiritual life. That will be the discussion for tomorrow. We are starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow. I just want to inform, if you come at 7, you may enjoy the prasad and go. So please don't miss out. Tomorrow we're starting. If somebody has not come and you know them, please inform them that tomorrow the class starts at 5. And most probably we will conclude at 7. And we will have ample question answers. I'll be there as long as you are completely satisfied. Of course, in one day you may not be satisfied. And also for those of you, many of you have been asking that, what after this? We are not going to leave you high and dry. Any one of you who really want to seriously pursue this study more, this is just, a sample. But really, if you want to scrutinizingly in depth understand the literatures and going into more deeper into the Bhagavad Gita, we have a weekly program here, right in the same hall, every Monday. This Monday we will not be doing it. Every Monday from 7:30 to 9:30, same time. But here we will be discussing systematically, verse by verse, and going much more deeper. This was just like a trailer. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. But we'll be going much deeper. So for those of you who are interested, you could inform. Tomorrow we'll discuss that. And we will do that. Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow we'll be doing that, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure some of you may have some questions. I'm available. But we have already 15 minutes beyond time. So if you have any questions, I am available. In the meantime, you can all take your dinner right now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.